Welcome to our discussion segment on St. Nicholas. I'm Joe Parker.
And I'm John Streeter.
Let's get started.
Joe, somehow your voice is deeper today.
It is a little deeper, yeah. Thankfully, I'm on the mend from a fun weekend of being sick. Ugh. So our wonderful audience is going to be treated to my downgraded voice.
Your dulcet tones?
Yes, absolutely. I think this has happened one other time this season when I had a similar thing, right?
Have you been sick this season? You might have. I don't remember.
One other time, yeah, where okay. It was a deepening of the voice for sure. So, John, I'm not going to ask you the obvious question, like what inspired this podcast?
2,000 years of celebrating the end of the year and the birth of Christ. And
I was interested, though, that I think that all of us believed that the version of Santa that we know and love came from an ad campaign.
Yeah.
And I was educated by the podcast.
So was I. I didn't realize. Yeah.
So what historically did they get right with that depiction of Santa Claus? Because you talk about it a little bit in the podcast, but the way he's depicted, he's very tall, very like overshadows kind of a room. He's the center of everything in every image. What were they able to get right about the Santa historically that we know today?
The image of Santa Claus and St. Nicholas has evolved for so long, as the podcast talked about. Really, from the popular image today, the only thing that Coca-Cola really got right going back all the way back to St. Nicholas was the beard and the generosity. The color of his clothes, the fact that he rides on a sleigh pulled by reindeer, all of that came about later, especially when we get into the Father Christmas mythology of the 16th and 17th and 18th centuries. A lot of it is American. The Dutch reviving the story of Sinterklaas during the American Revolution. There was a Dutch population in New York, because New York was originally a Dutch colony that the British took over a century before the American Revolution, as a way to resist British tyranny. They said, we're going to celebrate Christmas with our version of Father Christmas with Sinterklaas instead of the British version, which you see in like Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where he's not wearing red. He does give out gifts, but he's like almost a kind of a slightly menacing figure where he'll actually punish you if you're naughty. Whereas, the modern Santa Claus, he gives you lumps of coal, but that's about it. No, Sinterklaas and Father Christmas, they would smack you around with a chimney broom or with sticks or something like that. We've gotten rid of that. And also the blackface of the Sinterklaas celebrations.
Thankful that that's also gone.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual historical figure, when we hear about him, it's usually in the form of a meme.
Yes.
I think one of the famous ones is, I have come here to hand out presents and punch heretics, and I'm all out of presents.
Yes.
Is the meme that I think we all know and love.
You're talking about the historic St. Nicholas.
Yes. Yeah. Is that an accurate depiction? Obviously, he is a man of conviction, for sure.
Very much.
And he really, really cared about right and wrong, what he believed to be so anyway. Is that a proper depiction of him historically?
He did have, again, it depends on the source, very verbal confrontations at the Council of Nicaea and later on with evildoers, with greedy people. There are some stories of him getting physically involved in altercations, one of them with Arius at the Council of Nicaea. We don't know if that one's really accurate. One of the legends surrounding him that I didn't mention in the podcast because it was trying to keep it family friendly. There's a legend that involves him dealing with abusers of children very, very harshly.
Excellent.
And as it should be done. So I think that's kind of all kind of boiled down into that meme of, I'm here to hand out presents and punch heretics.
Nice.
I've also heard him described as Santa Claus with a machine gun. And I don't know that he was ever like offensively violent in that he was going out seeking out problems. I think it was more whenever he saw an injustice, he tried to correct it, whether it was through gift giving or through confrontations.
When you look at this historical figure who has now been transformed into this like cultural icon, what effect has that icon in the symbol that he has become? What effect has that had on society? I know that that's a huge question. So I'm going to boil it down a little bit.
Okay.
So thinking about World War II, Santa Claus, what was Santa Claus to the soldiers in World War II?
By the time soldiers are adults, I don't know that he was much of anything, but one of my favorite stories coming out of World War II is one I mentioned in the podcast where Dutch children, so the British would fly bombers over Dutch cities, but instead of dropping bombs, they would drop packages of like candy and presents and things like that for these kids. And the parents and school teachers actually rewrote classic Dutch Christmas carols.
Sure.
To praise these soldiers. And it talks about, basically punching Nazis and things like that. So Santa Claus for the Dutch during World War II, and I'm sure also for people in other parts of occupied Europe, was kind of this symbol of eventual redemption from the tyranny of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I've read too that soldiers, while the childish aspects of the character, the icon, that they didn't really care about, obviously, as adults, but the symbol was something that felt like they brought them back home. Like, it was a relational thing for them where when they saw it, it was a reminder.
Yeah, like, I think that's certainly true. And not just in World War II, but in every war. When you're able to take a few minutes, whether it's on Christmas Day or during the Christmas holiday, and just take a break from the horror and the danger in any kind of conflict, I think that is a reminder of better times and a hope of better times to come.
Sure.
One of the feelings that Santa evokes, I think more than anything, is hope for the new year. You know, last couple of years here in the United States and around the world because of the pandemic were not great. But at the end of the year, we all kind of had this hope, like, okay, maybe next year will be better. And I think that the Santa image, the Santa legend, the Santa meme basically is a reflection of that, or is a part of that.
Hmm.
So, Joe, I've got a question for you. How do you talk to your kids about Santa?
We are very honest about who Santa is. And one of the reasons why I'm excited about this podcast and really enjoyed it is because it brings to light the person where this cultural icon came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the story of Santa is a fun one. I think it is reflective of the higher reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very honest about it. That is a good segue, though, into the question I was going to ask. There seems to be a manufactured rivalry between, you know, the season being Christ-centered versus Santa-centered. And historically, you know, it's not that way.
Right.
And I think I say...
And in other parts of the world, it's not that way even now.
Yeah. So do you have any insights on where that came from? Is it purely the commercialism where people inflect, okay, this symbol causes people to purchase, this is consumerism, this is not the same? Or is it just people who are bored finding something to complain about?
Well, okay, I think it's several things. I think part of it is the increasing commercialism and certainly the wealth that has existed in especially the West, but in other parts of the world, certainly in greater amounts and generally speaking distributed more amongst a larger portion of the population. I think that leads people to not necessarily be as focused on the true reason for the season, because the original purpose of gift giving was, you know, you give people things that they need. I mean, winter is approaching, so here's the stuff that you're going to need for the winter. And there's still elements of that. I mean, we sometimes will give, you know, necessities and things like that. But a lot of times, especially in the West and here in the United States, it's stuff that we want. And commercialism and this merchant attitude that we have, is that's certainly part of it. A lot of it is the increasing secularization that has come about in the West after World War II, where we're de-emphasizing not just Christianity, but any religious elements within our kind of public spaces and public morality and public storytelling, basically. And then I do think that people just finding things to complain about, I think that's a part of it. And that's in every aspect of society, every holiday. I mean, I have a little bit of that. I get physically angry when I see people putting up Christmas lights and singing Christmas carols before Thanksgiving. I'm like, no. We all have those kind of little...
Kind of interested in what that would look like. You're physically angry. It's like, do you stop your car and like...
I thought about it.
You're like your arm in the air.
Humbug. Humbug.
Yeah. Humbug to you.
Yes,
please
exactly.
Start doing that. I want you to stop when you see that. Roll down your window and you start yelling humbug. I feel like we need to integrate that back into
Next year.
Our vernacular.
Next year, yeah.
Absolutely. So this episode was actually the idea of a guest that we have today.
Yes, it was.
My wife,
very
actually.
Very excited,
Sarah Parker, who is here, and I think she has some questions
to
ask
you as well.
Yeah,
we haven't seen you since season one. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
You know, as I was listening to the podcast, I was thinking about how the St. Nicholas character is sort of akin to maybe like King Arthur or Robin Hood, and that we know very little about the actual person who lived. And yet, obviously, there's been a lot of lore or certainly elements added to his character in the many years since he actually existed. Are there any other characters from history that you can think of that maybe have had that much maybe addition added to who they really were?
That's a really good question. Certainly Arthur and Robin Hood, those are some. I think probably some of the other early saints. I'm trying to think of some concrete examples. You may have done what your husband has not been able to do in 4 years.
Right out of the gate.
Stumped
all
me.
Right.
No, you did not. Joe's over here saying he's never stumped me. Let's see.
Well, it is hard to compete with a persona that is known around the world.
Yeah,
and that's, celebrated more or less around the world.
The only, well, and see, it's not even like the Easter Bunny. He's based on like amalgamations of like 8 or 9 characters in terms of the character traits and things like that. But obviously, there's not a giant rabbit, you know, or anything like that. So I'm going to think of someone probably around like 7 or 8 tonight. and we'll post that on Facebook for our listeners.
Sure.
But yeah, I can't think of anyone who has that same kind of global cultural impact while also being a composite figure of several different people that people have just kind of built this character into.
I recall, so I'm from the Pittsburgh area, and every Christmas there's sort of like a display that they put up, and they'll show these, it's been a while since I've been there, but there are statues and paintings, and it's sort of a collection of the Santas from around the world.
Yeah.
Many from Europe, of course, but other parts of the world too. Mm-hmm. And so it is remarkable how one person who sort of became a more of a persona has had such, like you said, a global impact. That's pretty really rare through history, I think. I was wondering too, you were saying in the podcast about how I think it was it Henry VIII who kind of brought the character of St. Nicholas back, or well, I guess it was Father Christmas at that point. What was the rationale? I think you kind of described it in the podcast as he kind of needed a second figure besides just like a baby Jesus character.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the rationale for that?
Sure. Because the English transformation or the English Reformation was such a sudden transformation of society, they lost, I mean, most of their, England was a deeply religious country. And so there's all kinds of like popular images and stories and myths, both real and fictional, that were just ripped away because they decanonized every saint. They removed every church, church and shrine and everything. So at a time when there really is no modern mass media or popular culture that's not tied to the church, he needed to keep something.
Okay.
And I don't remember exactly the time of year or when English Reformation started, I think in the 1530, thereabouts. I don't remember exactly when the Father Christmas stories started reappearing, but it was fairly quickly. And I think it was just to give the English people something that as their churches are being closed and turned into still churches, but of a different sort, they needed to have that something to hang on to.
And would they have recognized that connection between this character of Father Christmas and St. Nicholas?
I think so. Yeah, okay, I think they were probably... Okay. I mean, it's the coming out of the Middle Ages. We don't know the general education level. Certainly, people within the church would have recognized that character.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay,
Joe has retaken his position behind the microphone. Thank you, Sarah, for those questions. Those were awesome.
Absolutely. So, John, one final question, unrelated to the history of it, more of a fun thing to ask about: what power level would I almost said Satan? Okay, let's try this again.
No, I'm keeping that.
What power level would Santa be if he were in a comic book? Now, I ask because I ask knowing the answer. I'm curious what...
Oh, so there is an objective answer.
Well, according to comic books, how objective is that? But I would like to hear your...
He would have to be pretty powerful. I mean, certainly he's incredibly fast. He has the ability to generate matter from nothing. Let's see. He can compress himself into pretty, you know, tiny spaces in order to get down chimneys. Not quite Superman. I don't think he can,
I think it's Omega level is like the top.
I have no idea. I am not the comic book nerd that you are.
Yeah.
I would say slightly less powerful than like the top, like Superman, the Hulk, people like that, but still pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And asking because I know that Marvel did a comic with Santa in it.
Oh, did they really?
And they depict him as this jacked version of himself.
Of course they do.
But he's like top tier.
Is this pre-Disney Marvel?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. That makes more sense.
Way before that. Early 2000s.
Okay. I didn't think masculinity was something that Marvel wanted anymore.
True. That's true.
Yeah. So we have one more guest who's going to crawl up on your lap, Joe. So for our audience, this is Joe's son who is going to ask us a question. So you got to get real close to the microphone. There you go.
Why reindeer?
Oh, that's a good question. Why reindeer? Probably because they're from that part of Europe where a lot of the legends came from, kind of Northern Europe. But it is kind of strange that those reindeer fly. Have you ever seen a flying reindeer?
No.
No? Yeah, neither have I.
And, like, they can jump, but they can't jump for a while. That means it's flying.
Exactly. So that's part of the story that kind of got invented by people with great imaginations.
Do you think that reindeer flying causes them to be tired?
Really tired, because they're going to have to go around the world.
Yeah.
I bet they wouldn't be able to do that. That's a little too much. I bet if Santa could do that, then he would have to switch out his reindeer.
That's true. He probably would.
That's a good point, buddy.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
A little while ago, Uncle John said that it's close to winter, so they would need winter stuff. And I got some toys, too, not winter stuff, like a marble set or some kitchen stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What are you looking forward to most about Christmas?
The
presents?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're having a second Christmas.
Oh, are ya?
I wanted a marble set so much, and I have it now.
Nice.
Why did planes drop presents?
That's a really good question. Why did planes drop presents during the war? Because during World War II, there were some really, really, really bad people who took over several countries, and they wouldn't let the people who lived there, the children, go to school or play games or really do anything fun or interesting. And so the other side, the good guys in that war, they flew their planes over and they dropped presents for these little kids so that they would have something to enjoy and something to be grateful for during the Christmas season. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, it sure was.
Why does Santa always dress in the same clothes, and why does he have to have such a special clothing?
I confess I don't know why he has to have the special clothing, but I think it's his uniform. I think if you're going to be the guy delivering presents, you have to have the Santa hat and the big red robe with the white fur. I think that's kind of your job uniform. But I don't know. I don't know. I think that part probably came from Coca-Cola. I think the color scheme was probably...
Well, it's red.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to be on with you.
Well, good. You're very welcome. Thank you for being here. That was fun.
Yeah, it sure was.
You have some cool kids.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I agree. I'm a little biased, but...
You're allowed to be.
It. Yeah. Thank you for joining us in our discussion of St. Nicholas. I'm Joe Parker.
And I'm John Streeter.
Be sure to leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help. And if you would like to help us make this podcast even better, go to our website at 15minutehistorypodcast.org and hit the support subscribe button. Our next episode will be Monday, January 16th. Thank you, and we want to wish you all a very happy new year.